read it to you because I didn't understand it. And here goes. We did a lot of things today, so we got two pages full. Here's the dream. Roughly 7:05 this morning. I'm in a store at a perfume or cologne counter, and a lady is showing me a new scent or smell or odor and gives me a small sample. And then I receive a bottle of approximately 8 ounces. I wrote down 5 or 6 or 8 because it didn't make sense that this was going to be such a large bottle. 8 ounces is a lot. I smelled it and I debated to try some on my left hand and then on my arm. I still wondered, do I have this need? Question mark. That's in the dream. Then I try on my neck. So I put some on. I decided to walk away, and the lady says, it's approximately $50. I debate. She pours a leftover into a container that has the same material in it, or the same product, and just puts it all together. Question mark. Done. Don't know. Another question mark. God, what are you up to? So, I want to give you the dream because this afternoon, well, I had a real strong press to call Judy. And, of course, she's that lady in the back. And she called me back because she wasn't available at the moment. And when she called me back, she kind of told me about what God was been doing with her for the past roughly 24 to 36 hours. And so this afternoon, I had given a word to my sister Gail to bring a word to us, and she will do that in a few moments. But before then, this afternoon I said to the Lord, is there anything that you want to be released before she speaks? And this is what I heard, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. When I got to that part, I said, Lord, am I the one that's feeling this? He said, no, the body of Christ is. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Last night there was a vision of a ladder. And it represented to call on the Lord and lift him higher and higher. And that was also confirmed. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foes. I long to dwell in your, and I put the word new because I believe that there's a new tent. A new tent, a recreated body. A resurrected body that is being prepared for each and every one of you. Forever. And to take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vow, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of your king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then will I ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Say, Lord Jesus, we're going to fulfill our vows day after day. Because you are the great King. Amen? So that's what I have. And now I will release this to my sister and see what God has prepared for her. Or from her or through her. How about that?
God has such a great sense of humor. Kim asked me this about 1:30 this afternoon, and I had an afternoon of commitments. that I had to keep. It was 4 o'clock before I sat down this afternoon to see what he wanted. I knew what the subject was. I already knew the minute Kim asked me. No idea what to do with it. I said, Lord, it's 4 o'clock. I have to prepare an early supper, and we don't have much time here. But anyway, the Lord very graciously did bring in several scriptures. I did have to go to a book because I knew what I wanted, and what the Lord was bringing to my heart was the blood. And the reason he did that is yesterday, Kim was sharing much of a message he pulled off the internet from Chuck Pierce and Robert, I think it's Heidler?
Heidler,
on why Passover. Thank you. Kim had been reading that all day yesterday, and he read part of it in the morning, part in the evening. And the focus of that I picked up is that they tried to remove the blood of Jesus from the Christian walk. And by removing Passover, they were removing the blood. And it just kept speaking to my heart, which had spoke to my heart long before Passover, that we needed to have a refocus on the blood. It just kept coming to me, and that kind of confirmed it. So I went back to the Lord and spoke about this, and that is quite an extensive subject. So I'm only going to make a beginning there on the blood. Honestly admitting, do I have a full revelation of the blood myself? No. Would like it very much, but knowing that it's something that I need. But while I was in worship, he did bring one area back to me that he did unveil within the last 2 or 3 days, and that's still in progress. So if you'll go with me, please, I'm going to hop through the Bible with many scriptures, but this one he particularly showed because it was something he reveals in Romans 3. And I'm going to verses 24 to 26. Okay, verse 24, the primary verse that he gave me the revelation from is in 24, something that I thought I knew and realized I did not. All are justified, and that word justified can also say made righteous for reasons that only God knows. Made righteous speaks more to my heart than justified. I just get a much, much better feel when I say righteous. So all are made righteous with God freely and gratuitously by his grace through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. I'm reading from the Amplified. The focus that the Lord brought me to was that word redemption. And what he gave me an understanding of that word really means is that the sin is removed completely from us forever. It's gone. I think my understanding had been, I knew that I was forgiven, and I knew when I prayed and repented and asked for the blood to remove, I guess I just wasn't grasping the magnitude of what that meant. That not only is the sin forgiven, it's literally removed. It's gone. To be found no more unless you choose to bring it back. And as I pondered on it, I'm still digesting the magnitude of what that means, all through the blood of Jesus. Whom God put forward as a mercy seat and propitiation. That word propitiation means atoning sacrifice. By his blood, or some renditions say through faith in his blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. It was to demonstrate and prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies and accepts as righteous him who has true faith in Jesus. This particular scripture I've been going back to probably for the last 2 weeks, many times, because not only did God take the veil off of that redemption, but he's also taking the veil off for me of righteousness. And this particular verses, again, stresses that as God removes, he gives. And we have received righteousness. And that is all through the blood, through our faith in the blood, through what Jesus has done for us by his blood. Sin is gone forever. In its place, we have righteousness. And I'm still, in all honesty, still digesting that word righteousness. God has been taking the veil off of that now for about, I would say, 4 weeks for me, and that started with a dream. And to grasp that is amazing. That word righteousness, that we come before God with no guilt, no fear, and acceptable as a son in God's sight. That is astounding. Just absolutely astounding. It's like, wow. Okay, God. Help me to really walk in that truth. To go along with this scripture, come forward with me to Hebrews 9. And I'm going to be reading from verses 13 and 14. This one ties right back into the Romans, but it's just another confirmation of that scripture. And it's wonderful that God gives us more confirmation of the blood. For if the mere sprinkling of unholy and defiled persons with blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a burnt heifer is sufficient for the purification of the body, how much more surely shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of his eternal spirit, his own preexistent divine personality, has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God, and this is the key, purify our consciences from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God. And there is another scripture that the blood of Jesus purifies our conscience to the level, again, that we are free from what had been there to now freedom before God. It's been removed. We're free from our past. We're literally new creatures in Christ. We're new. That past has been taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me just see where God wants to go next. I believe we'll go to 2 Corinthians. As I say, I'm just hopping through scriptures without a full depth and going to trust that God will grant you a full understanding, and you, any one of you, are free to please share if God has given you something more to do with the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5. And we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. The first time God shared with me when I knew nothing, and he told me I was a new creature in Christ, I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. So he has held me in this for many, many years. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It was God in Christ reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. That's again from the Amplified. And committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. The book that I was drawn to just go through my heart with a better understanding was written by Benny Hinn. And by the way, Linda, the place that you were trying to think of this morning was Jaffa.
Ah, yes.
That's where he lived. We talked about where did he live this morning. The name came up and we couldn't remember it was Jaffa. And in here, in this particular scripture, he quotes from a man named Andrew Murray. And I don't know how many of you knew him, but he was a man of God, I believe, in the 1800s.
Yes.
Right? From the British Isles. I think was he Scottish? It was either Scottish or English, one or the other. And what he said is, again, one of those statements that is so astounding. And I will share it with you. Sin has had a twofold effect. It has had an effect on God as well as on man. But the effect it has on God is more terrible and serious. Right away, he's got my attention. It is because of its effect on God that sin has its power over us. God, as Lord of all, could not overlook sin. It is his unalterable law that sin must bring forth sorrow and death. And that's according to Romans 6:23. That's an amazing statement to think that the sin in us has affected God more than us, because it's his law and it's going to bring forth sorrow and death. And since it's his law, it's here, it's solid, it cannot be changed. It's a God law, period. Again, my heart, as I was pondering on this, thought, wow, that is an amazing statement to think that my sin, your sin, had that effect on God, and that it brought him to Jesus and to shed the blood. When we were talking this morning, we were going over some of these issues, and it came to us the magnitude of the amount of blood that was on Jesus even before he was hung on the cross. That his body was ripped to shreds. His beard was pulled out. Crown of thorns on his head. So the blood was definitely dripping down his face. To the point that he must have been unrecognizable to those that knew him by the time he even gets to the cross. And another thing that, again, in looking at this book, was pressed on my heart, that his blood was not spilled, his blood was shed. Puts a whole different light on the cross. Come with me, please, to Colossians 1, and I'm going to look at Colossians 1:12. Thank you. Actually, I'm going to do 12 and 13. This is another one of those amazing statements that I sat there and I just said, wow, God. Yes, yes. Giving thanks to the Father. Now, the Amplified says, who has qualified. Some versions say, who has made us able to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints in the light. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The amazing part of this statement is what it's speaking here in verse 13, is that word dominion, that us, through the blood of Jesus, have dominion and authority over Satan. That's a lot to grasp, but it's an amazing, awesome truth that our hearts really, I feel, need to grasp. We have dominion and authority over Satan through the blood of Jesus. Awesome. Ephesians 1:7. This scripture I'm just going to state to help us to realize that we've been bought with a price. In him we have redemption through his blood. The remission, now the Amplified says, of our offenses. In accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. Again, this scripture stresses that all that we have has been bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I neglected to write down here, since I was doing it very quickly, what I meant by Isaiah 43. So if you'll go with me, please, to Isaiah 43, verse 25. Let's see what the Lord is telling us. You can see where my heart was when I was doing this, because here is another scripture to tie right back to where I started. I, even I, am he who blots out and cancels your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead and argue together. Set forth your case, that you may be justified. When I read that verse 26, it speaks to me that God is giving me the privilege of coming before him and stating, hey, this is my case. The blood of Jesus has done whatever it is that I feel that I need to plead. Because he's telling me here. He's blotted it out. Put me in remembrance. Remembrance of what? Since at this point he's speaking of the blood of Jesus, it could be something else for you. That you certainly have the right and the privilege through the blood of Jesus to come before him and put him in remembrance of whatever your case is. Another awesome gift by the blood. And I'm going to finish up with Revelation 12:11. I have been going over this scripture and over this scripture for several days, asking God for the full understanding. I have not received it as yet, but I'm believing for it because of what he has been showing me during these last few weeks. And they overcame him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by, now this word, this Bible says utterance, I know others say word of their testimony, for they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death. Again, our ability to overcome and conquer is through the blood of Jesus Christ. My words don't do this justice, obviously. The only one who's going to really do this for you is the Holy Spirit, as he gives you the deeper understanding that you need to walk in this.